Hello and welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans, Oklahoma State Football Podcast. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined tonight by Jacob Unruh and Jenny Carlson. It's the Cowboy Walk and Talk postgame as we follow up Oklahoma State's 20-14 victory over Iowa State. And wow, is there a lot to get to.
What a night.
It was a crazy day. The different emotions, not fan type emotions, just like witnessing what was happening around you in terms of covering the event was remarkable. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be a fan in that environment. And, you know, you feel the energy in the stadium go from completely flat to fully energized as Spencer Sanders comes trotting on the field and ultimately leads a come from behind victory. Completely unexpected. Hadn't practiced. I don't know. I said sometime before Halloween. I have no idea the last time he practiced.
It's been weeks. It's been weeks, Scott.
Yes, it has. I mean, we know he wasn't practicing back when he was playing. So obviously he's been out the last 2 weeks for sure. So just remarkable to see what happened. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's start here. And Jenny, I'm going to you first. Even if it's something I've already talked about, what is the overarching takeaway from what we witnessed tonight here at Boone Pickens Stadium?
I mean, I don't know if we can say that Spencer Sanders had his Willis Reed moment, but that's something that is going to be talked about, or should be talked about, as people reflect about Spencer Sanders' career once he's no longer a Cowboy. I mean, he's won lots of games as a Cowboy, won lots of big games as a Cowboy. You know, won that Fiesta Bowl last year in a huge comeback fashion. Got them to the Big 12 title game last year. But he's never won a game under these circumstances. Injured, not practicing, fourth quarter, they're behind. He comes in, completes his first six passes. He's 6 of 7 on the touchdown drive, throws a great little pass on a fake run that puts the Cowboys up. Just big time stuff all the way around under the circumstances. This is the type of game that it's not just a win, it's a statement. And I think people are going to need to remember it that way for a long time.
I imagine, you know, there were a lot of 20-year-olds in this stadium tonight that witnessed what happened. And I think about what it's going to be like 60 years from now when they're telling this story and the legend has grown. And, you know, Sanders was on the sidelines on crutches and had to borrow somebody's shoulder pads to go in. And but I mean,
wasn't his own helmet, just, you know, someone else's.
Not even his helmet. Yeah, exactly. He took it off of Gunnar Gundy and ran into the game. And it was snowing, of course, but
a foot of snow uphill.
yeah. The offense will listen. It felt like the offense was going uphill for a while.
Uphill both
most of the day. Jacob, before we go on, what anything else that you'd like to add, or any other major takeaways from this game?
We got to talk about the defense too tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
This looked like the defense we expected all season,
right,
from last year, and Iowa State's offense. I'm gonna tap the brakes a little. Iowa State's offense,
sure,
is not necessarily great, but they did score 31 last week. They do have a NFL caliber receiver in Xavier Hutchinson, and NFL receivers have given OSU trouble all year.
Right.
And he had 100 yards, but they limited him overall when you really look at his numbers. And a lot of short catches, didn't really burn them deep, which is huge. But this defense got off the field, had 5 turnovers, and just obliterated the run game of Iowa State. And it has not had this kind of mojo all season. The only frustration that I can see from the defense maybe is they kept getting turnovers and the offense didn't do anything with them. But
right
at the same time, they kept getting the turnovers, and they just didn't let Iowa State have any ground to do anything. They got the quarterback in the fourth quarter. Everything mostly went right for them tonight on the defensive end, and I think that's huge. Going forward, you've got an OU team that's reeling and a West Virginia team that has a little burst of energy today, but it's still a team they should go out and beat.
5 takeaways for the defense. They get 4 sacks, all in the fourth quarter. So they had gone, I don't know how many quarters without a sack.
Ooh.
And come up with 4 huge ones. I want to make sure we mention the Corey Black play on the next to last play by Iowa State when he goes up and bats down.
Huge. A
pass intended for Xavier Hutchinson on third down at the goal line. Would have been the game-winning touchdown. Fantastic play from him there. Then, you know, Brock Martin on fourth down gets to Hunter Deckers, gets him chased out of the pocket, and Colin Oliver comes in and finishes it off. For them to respond that way down the stretch was hugely important. And we've been talking for a few weeks about how this defensive front needed to do 2 things. One was stop the run, which they did. The other was get to the quarterback, which they did. And when they do things like that, this defense is completely different. And like you said, Jacob, this isn't, you know, Tom Brady and the Patriots out there leading, you know, running up and down the field. But to do this against a Big 12 team is important. And they've got, they still have challenges ahead that are going to be difficult. But this has to give them some confidence going into the next week, the next 2 games.
Absolutely. I mean, they needed this. As Jason Taylor said after the game, they were stuck in a rut. And they needed to get out of it. And they found their way out of it. And I think all I kept hearing from defenders and Derek Mason's games, they're going to build on this. Mason said this is now the standard for them. And so we'll see if they can build off of it, because it seems like last week, same time they got any kind of momentum, it got squashed real fast. So we'll see.
Guys, they allowed 293 less rushing yards this week than they did a week ago. 293! That's ridiculous. I mean, what they allowed last week was ridiculous, but to think that they could turn it around and have that kind of performance after what we saw a week ago, that's remarkable.
It absolutely is. The way that they were defending the run, I don't know what Iowa State's longest running play was. I don't remember one of any significance. So really impressive there. They were good at getting off the field when they could. Just all around really strong on defense. Individually, was anybody more impactful than Kendall Daniels, the redshirt freshman from Beggs?
I don't think so.
Except for the people that got heat into the press box. Nobody was more impactful than Kendall Daniels.
There you go.
Yeah. Maybe Jabbar Muhammad, but I'm going Daniels on it. He tied for the team lead with 10 tackles, had a tackle and a half for loss, had a forced fumble, had an interception. He really came into his own tonight. As I said, this is the game that we're going to remember as Spencer Sanders' comeback, but it also should be the night that we remember that Kendall Daniels officially arrived.
Hey,
really impressive.
This was something that Jacob, you and I talked about, and Scott, you and I might have talked about it too, but I think Daniels' continued improvement at safety gave OSU a confidence in moving Muhammad to play cornerback full-time tonight. They needed him there against Hutchinson, and I thought he did a fantastic job. Both he and Black drew Hutchinson in different times, and they were both really good. But to have Muhammad be able to play one spot instead of bouncing back and forth, that was big. But I think Daniels and the way he's playing helped him to think, okay, we don't have to move Jabbar back over to safety. Those guys will be okay. Kendall's maturing. He's getting to a point where he can handle some of that. And I thought that was big sort of game in the game that really helped OSU tonight.
Yeah, it was. Once it was announced that Thomas Harper was out, you assumed that Jabbar Muhammad was going to be back at that nickelback spot, and that was going to leave Cam Smith in a starting role at corner, and you knew that Hutchinson was going to be a challenge that he has never faced. And so for them to be able to get Sean Michael Flanagan over and let him do some nickel stuff and let Daniels kind of roam as that deep guy, and then have Jabbar Muhammad at corner, it changes the dynamic. Jabbar Muhammad is one of the best cornerbacks in this league, and it's easy to forget that when he is getting moved around and not getting to play consistently at corner, but his coverage skills are big time good, and he showed that again tonight. All right. Anything else before we come back to, I want to finish on Sanders. And of course the most important thing I forgot, but anything else that we need to wrap up? Another big night from Tanner Brown.
Yeah. Tanner Brown had a good night. Semifinalist for the Lou Gorza. I cannot talk. I'm sorry.
Rosa
Award. I'll get it eventually. And, it's cold out here. I'm starting to shiver, guys.
Right.
And, big night for him. But I think also we got to talk about Gunnar Gundy. It wasn't the
right.
best night for Gunnar necessarily. But Mike said he liked a lot of things out of Gunnar. The one big mistake was the last interception, the last play that Gunnar played. Tried to do too much, tried to do as Mike compared it to Spencer Sanders in 2019, trying to do too much, which I thought was interesting. But the offense really stalled. So a lot of that has to do with Iowa State more than Gunnar, I think, into a point. But I think, you know, we got to see the difference between Gunnar and Garrett and Spencer at this point. And, you know, I think tough night for Gunnar overall, but I think it's a learning moment.
He picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
I'll say this though about Gunnar. I don't think he was quite as effective as Rangel was last week, but he didn't force it too often. I mean, he did have the two interceptions. I thought the last throw was, you know, it was his worst throw of the night. But you saw him throw it away. You didn't see him take, he only had one sack. So he didn't make fatal flaw errors. He didn't throw any pick sixes. And fumble it deep in, you know, Iowa State territory. Nothing that really put points for Iowa State, which I thought was really big. Because then it gave us a chance to see Spencer Sanders in that moment in the fourth quarter. If it's a blowout and there's no chance, you know, you've lost that opportunity. But I think that was part of it. Yes, you would like to see be more effective at that quarterback spot, but the fact that he didn't have any of those fatal flaws I thought was important as well.
Yeah, it was. He had the two interceptions. Obviously, the last one that Jacob talked about was the one that that got him pulled and opened the door for Spencer. But yeah, he didn't. He kept him in the game when his mistakes could have done the opposite, and that was important. And this the quarterback position has been chaos for these guys. You know, you have Spencer Sanders playing but not practicing for a few weeks. Then finally, you get to the point where you've got to rest him. You have a competition, basically in week competition for the job between Rangel and Gunnar Gundy, and Rangel comes out on top of that. Then he gets hurt, a chest injury, apparently a chest bruise, is what was reported on the radio, and can't practice pretty much all week. And so you got to hand the reins to your third starting quarterback in 3 weeks, and that is a really difficult situation. It really handcuffs Casey Dunn in what he can do as offensive coordinator. And I think that's why you saw things not only operate more smoothly because of Sanders when he got in the game, but because of what Dunn can do to call plays and what he can ask of Sanders. And listen, that touchdown does not happen with a different quarterback in, because the threat of him keeping the ball or running it, if it's Gunnar or if it's Garrett Rangel, is not the same. I don't think the cornerback bites up as hard on the run to get Jaden Nixon open for the touchdown pass if it's somebody else. So pretty impressive the way that they handled things once they got Sanders into the game. Obviously a tough week for him. His grandfather passed away early in the week. He got to spend some time with family, but says he didn't miss attending a practice, even though he wasn't practicing. He was around helping the young guys and staying in tune with the game plan, which is important. But I can't even begin to describe how crazy it is to see what he did, to come off the bench in the final minute of the third quarter and go, even though he led just one touchdown drive, to do what he did is remarkable.
And I just go back to, we talked about this, I think, a little bit, but you just go back to just the reaction of everybody, not just the fans, the whole team. You just felt different. Like the weight was lifted off their shoulders. It was like, okay, Spencer's here. Everything's going to be just fine. And he came out and hit his first all those passes at the beginning, and he wasn't even loose at the beginning. He had
not thrown a football.
Yeah, he had to warm up between the quarters, I think, the quarter break, right?
Yes.
So, like,
exactly.
I mean, it was incredible. And, you know, you heard him say all season, you know, you heard him say he was a tough MF-er, and you heard him say tonight that he's too competitive to call it a season. And it's not just lip service by this guy. This guy really is living up to what he says. These guys fully believe in him. As John Paul Richardson said, you just got to understand how good of a football player he really is. And I think we're starting to really appreciate the value and the talents of Spencer.
And I think one of the use a Casey Dunn quote. Go ahead, Jenny.
I think I'm way behind you guys. I've got a delay.
So, yeah.
But the thing that I heard both Spencer and Mike Gundy talked about how.
Ooh, so dramatic!
Yeah,
the dramatic pause.
Where'd you go, Jenny?
I believe we've lost Jenny. All right. But the Casey Dunn quote that I was going to use was that when Spencer comes into the game, these guys believe anything is possible. And tonight he showed that it was. And I mean, that shows you the aura that this guy has and the impact he has on his team just being on the field with him. And it's really impressive. I mean, he had no intentions of playing tonight. Nobody said it specifically, but they all suggested that the idea was to hold him out for another week, get him healthy for Bedlam next week, and try to finish strong. And, you know, that plan got scrapped with 53 seconds to go in the third quarter. And he came in and did what he had to do to get this team to victory. So, really impressive stuff. I believe that brings us. Not sure if Jenny's back connected again, but
can I try it again?
You can go for it.
Hey, what I wanted to say was, you know, both Gundy and Spencer both said something very similar. How well Spencer knows this offense, fourth year starter, been around a long time, knows it like the back of his hand. But I don't want people to hear that and think that that makes what he did any less impressive. Just because you know the offense, just because you know the plays, just because Casey Dunn can call down something that hasn't been run in a month and you know what to do, doesn't make it any less impressive because he hasn't been practicing with these guys. Timing's off. Confidence is different. All the things that come with practice are not there right now for Spencer Sanders. For him to come in cold, like Jacob said, he's warming up between the quarters after he's already thrown a completion to Langston Anderson. Come on! I mean, where does that stuff happen? So this to me is, if there's Oklahoma State fans out there who've been highly critical, maybe overly critical of Spencer Sanders, he's not a perfect quarterback. No quarterback is. But this is one of those moments you have to say, I respect this guy. He is a fighter. He went out there and fought in not great circumstances, and he won the game for my team tonight, if I'm a Cowboy fan. That is big, and I think that needs to be respected.
Cannot disagree with any of that. All right. Well, I think with that, my shivering hand tells us it's time for the most important thing I forgot before we wrap this thing up.
Ooh, the most important thing you forgot. You want to go first, Jenny? You go first.
Did I throw a perfect game? Did I not forget anything tonight? It's possible. It's never happened before.
We did not talk about how bad the running game was for OSU.
And that surprised me because it started off really good. Those first couple of drives were pretty solid. They were getting some double-digit runs that they hadn't had in a while. They were doing some things that we hadn't seen. They were getting out, getting Dominic Richardson in space. Then he disappeared, played very little in the second half. Obviously, they were struggling to throw the ball. Gunny finishes, what, 5 of 13 or 5 of 12 with two picks.
Yeah.
So they obviously weren't doing enough passing the ball to make it where Iowa State had to really respect that a whole lot more than just playing some man coverage. And I was surprised to see the running game taper off as much as it did and as quickly as it did after a pretty good start.
Yeah, that was that
here's
was
one thing
one.
I'll throw out. And I can't hear Jacob, so I have no idea what he just said. I can hear Scott, can't hear Jacob. Sometimes the spaces is not perfect. But Here's what I'll say. If you want to respect even more what Spencer Sanders did, consider this. Oklahoma State went 1 of 14 on third down. They had a punt block that set up Iowa State in the red zone, and they somehow still won this game. That somehow is Spencer Sanders. So they had every reason to lose this game, and yet their quarterback comes in and saves the day.
Yep, absolutely. Just a remarkable thing that we witnessed tonight. And it was, I don't know. I can't, I'm running out of adjectives to describe what we saw from Spencer Sanders and this team tonight. So
I got one more positive thing. That ball that Gunnar Gundy threw to JP Richardson.
Oh yeah. We didn't talk about his big touchdown.
The best pass of the night by anybody.
Oh, absolutely. One of the best of the season. And yes. I mean, you know this, you saw him, you covered him in high school. I covered him a couple of times back before I moved on to the OSU beat. That's one of his biggest strengths is the deep ball. And that was an exceptional throw right on the money, right in stride. And then the second best part of that play is Spencer Sanders sprinting down the sideline behind John Paul Richardson for about 50 yards, chasing him into the end zone, basically. Yeah. So
it all goes really, back to Spencer, but yeah, that was a beautiful throw.
It was. It really was. I think we've seen glimpses of talent from both Gunner and Garrett Rangel in the past 2 weeks. And, this experience the last 2 weeks is really going to help them. Obviously, this Oklahoma State team would prefer that neither of them have to play again until Spencer Sanders is gone. But they've at least got some meaningful experience that's going to help them down the stretch. All right. Well, with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. I hope Jenny's got the car started and got the heater going because I'm freezing at this point. But thank you to everybody for listening. There, I heard it fire up. All right. Very good. We'll shut it down. Thanks for listening. And we will talk to you on Tuesday night from Stone Cloud. Come out and join us here in Stillwater for another fun Cowboy Chronicles podcast.